Hello, everyone, and welcome to another Compliance Week News Podcast. I'm Matt Kelly, editor of Compliance Week, and today we are going to talk about the looming deadline for red flag rules. Those rules from the Federal Trade Commission set to go into effect August 1st, and they are going to require financial institutions and other creditors to establish identity theft prevention programs. To talk with us about what the rules specifically require and who really needs to be worrying about them, we are joined by Vita Zelster. She is with the law firm Locke, Lord, Bissell & Little. She is an associate there who works on corporate governance matters and has followed the red flag rules closely. So, Vita, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us today.
Thanks, Matt. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Now, first question, just give us a refresher on who actually does fall under jurisdiction for the red flag rules. Is it really merchant banks and financial institutions, or should retailers or anybody else outside the financial sector be worrying all that much about these?
Well, the surprising thing about these rules is their breadth of applicability. Basically, merchant banks and financial institutions definitely do need to worry about them. Banks actually have their own set of rules beyond the FTC's that were promulgated and went into effect last year by their respective governing authorities, by their regulatory agencies. The FTC's rules are a lot broader in scope in that they apply both to financial institutions and creditors. And the way these terms are defined surprised most people, which is why the FTC extended the deadline for compliance first by 6 months and now by 3 months. So the August 1st compliance deadline already represents a nine-month delay by the FTC. So to fall within the scope of the rules, first of all, you have to be within the jurisdiction of the Federal Trade Commission, which obviously is a very broad jurisdiction. Second, you either have to be a financial institution or a creditor. Financial institution, for purposes of the rules, is basically a bank or anyone that has a transaction account. And a transaction account is defined as some kind of deposit or account from which someone is permitted to make withdrawals for purposes of making payments to third persons or others. And it's kind of funny language, and a lot of companies have been surprised by how broadly it can be applied. For example, a number of insurance companies have determined that some products that they offer fall within that definition, even though they wouldn't be financial institutions in other respects. So it's really a case-by-case analysis.
And so would, say, a retailer offering their own in-store credit card, Sears or ExxonMobil with a gas card that you might use at a gas station, conceivably, could they also be swept up in this?
It's definitely possible. It would depend on how that's structured and if it's structured through their bank or through that retailer. But that definitely would be a great example. And that actually brings us to the second way that you could fall within these rules. So if you determine that you're not a financial institution, if you're deemed to be a creditor, then you could also fall within the rule scope. The creditor is also defined quite broadly. Essentially, anyone who extends credit, which the FTC has interpreted to mean anyone who defers payment or allows for deferral of payment for services rendered or goods provided. And the creditor prong is where, for example, a lot of healthcare practitioners have been swept under this rule. So, for example, doctors, because they don't charge a fee at the time the service was rendered, but they send a bill at a later date, they're deemed creditors. So if you're – sorry to have interrupted.
Continue.
Oh, sure. If you're a financial institution or a creditor, you don't quite stop there. You also have to determine that you have a something that's called a covered account. And if you don't, then you're free and clear of the rules. But if you do, then you must comply regardless of how tangentially you're tripped up by this covered account definition.
Well, the rules themselves, talk about how, I guess, new they are in that are they substantially different from other identity theft or data privacy laws out there, or could compliance officers worried about this, you know, try and piggyback compliance with these rules on whatever existing data privacy programs they might already have for other rules they've had to worry about for a while?
you could definitely piggyback them on other compliance programs you have, but complying with these rules specifically would most likely, in most cases, require substantial modification to the identity theft prevention programs because of the specific elements that the rules require that these programs must contain. Most other rules that relate to this topic are state-level rules that speak in generalities about how about the fact that information should generally be stored in a secured fashion or destroyed in a secured fashion. But nothing goes quite into the level of detail that these rules do in terms of requiring specific elements. For example, okay. The rules require identification of red flags and give specific examples, and then detection and then response. And perhaps most onerously, the rules require that the program, rather, must be approved at the board of directors level of every company and then maintained at an annual, at least annual, time period. In other words, the program and its effectiveness should be reviewed at an annual meeting of the board of directors or something to that effect to ensure that it continues to reflect the practices of the company and the company's best efforts to comply.
I was going to ask, what sort of documentation or proof of compliance will the FTC be looking for, like whether there's a certification that has to be filed or anything else like that? At that end, do they have a clear sense of what companies should be doing to demonstrate compliance?
They do, and it's not a certification per se. It's more of an internal policy and set of procedures that, again, must be approved at the board of directors level. So there's no filing to be made with the FTC, and there's no, annual certification process, but there is a requirement that a policy be set in place. The rules themselves contain guidelines for what the policy should look like, and the FTC has actually recently come out with a sample template policy for low-risk companies. In other words, companies that are either in industries that are not identity theft prone or whose business practices make the companies reach a conclusion that they're not very likely to have an event of identity theft. Nonetheless, those companies are subject to compliance, but they can go through this lighter method that the FTC has approved in filling out the FTC's form, and that would be its internal policy.
Now, we hadn't discussed this earlier, but one other question that I was just curious. Has the FTC indicated how vigorously they're going to enforce this? I mean, are they really going to clobber companies over the head, or are they going to take more of a hand-holding approach, at least at the start, to help them understand what compliance is and get things up and running?
You know, it's really hard to say. They haven't come out with a definitive statement on this, but the fact that they've delayed the compliance date by 9 months, and in those 9 months they've continued to offer guidance in written form in some respect, geared towards specific industries, could potentially lead to a conclusion that there could be some pretty severe enforcement consequences, because after all, there has been a lot of press about this and a lot of FTC talk about this. So yep. Companies definitely need to pay attention and comply, especially in light of the fact that the number of delays of the enforcement deadline.
All right. Well, Vita, that is all the time we have today, but you gave us plenty of information and material to think about, so we really appreciate your time here.
Well, thanks so much. Thanks for having me.
And again, everybody, that was Vita Zelster of the law firm Locke, Lord, Bissell & Little, and she's been talking with us about the FTC's red flag rules, which are going into effect starting on August 1st. So I am Matt Kelly, editor of Compliance Week. That is all for this time. Thank you very much, everybody, for listening.